It's really a challenge to come for worship and think that in an hour's time or an hour and a half's time, in a 30-minute time frame for a message, that we're going to grasp the holiness, the majesty, the beauty, the wonder of who God is. There's just no way that we will do it this morning. And that's the frustration, I think, that sets in at times for pastors when we come and we want to bring God's word in such a way that it's clear and powerful and meaningful, and yet we're only scratching the surface. God's word is so amazing. We're going to be this morning in the book of Habakkuk. If you need to look in your index in the front of your Bible, you can find that page number. It's in the Old Testament, near the end of that section of the Bible, of the Old Testament. There's Nahum, then Habakkuk. If you find the New Testament, flip back a few pages, you'll be there. Habakkuk is a man who had lots of questions. He wondered why things weren't turning out the way he wanted them to. He said, "Lord, how long until you hear my prayer? It's like you're not listening." You ever feel like that, that God's not listening to your prayers? He says, "God, I see in my land that justice is perverted. People do wrong things and it goes unpunished. God, what's happening to our nation? God, I don't like this. Why? How long? God, why don't you work? Why don't you hear my prayers? God, why is justice perverted? Why do people say that good is bad and bad is good? I don't understand, Lord. I don't like this." And the prophet Habakkuk got a message from the Lord. At the beginning of chapter 3, we see these words, and prior to that, we hear the ringing silence, because the Lord had asked Habakkuk and reminded him that the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. The Lord is holy. We don't know if this response that Habakkuk gives is hours later, days later, months, years. We don't know, but in this time frame, he composes a most beautiful poem, a song. It's this book of Habakkuk goes from a dirge, a lament, to a doxology. And this last chapter is a doxology that this prophet brings to the Lord. It's a prayer that he's giving, and he's just crying out. And so I want to read this passage this morning. If there's one thing that you can remember about today, about this moment, it is that God is awesome. If you want to know one thing about me and one of my pet peeves, it's that I only try to use that adjective to describe God. God is the only one who is awesome. Now, earlier in this year, there was a little movie that came out about Legos. And the little guy said, "Everything is awesome." And everything is awesome, except when it isn't. And so what do we do when things aren't awesome? When our vision becomes cloudy, when we think that our world is crumbling, when we have questions, doubts, just like this man, Habakkuk, when we need to get readjusted, it needs to come back to this vision of God's greatness, of who he is. And so this is what this poem, this song, this doxology is all about. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Translation this morning, Habakkuk chapter 3. I'll read the entire chapter, and then we'll come back and see some things about this particular passage of God's word. This is a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shigineoth. And that really means it's an emotional poem. I want you to hear the emotion in this man's words that he gave to God, this prayer. "Lord, I've heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God comes from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan under distress. The tent curtains of the land of Midian were trembling. Did the Lord rage against the rivers? Or was your anger against the rivers? Or was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, on your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made bare. The rods of chastisement were sworn. You cleaved the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and quaked. The downpour of waters swept by. The deep uttered forth its voice. It lifted high its hands. Sun and moon stood in their places. They went away at the light of your arrows, at the radiance of your gleaming spear. In indignation you marched through the earth. In anger you trampled the nations. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You struck the head of the house of the evil to lay him open from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own spears the head of the throngs. They stormed in to scatter us. Their exaltation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. You trampled on the sea with your horses, on the surge of many waters. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. And here's this most amazing declaration that this man could make. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. This is for the choir director on my stringed instruments. Join me as I pray. Father, during this time, help us to see once again who you are. Help us to know that you are great, that you are mighty, that you are glorious, that we can trust you, that we can rejoice in you, that we can bring our prayers to you. Lord God, I ask that in this time that you would stir our hearts. Help us to believe what we say we believe. Help us to live it. Father, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for their faithfulness to you. I pray your very best for every person here. And Lord, for whatever anyone is experiencing today, I pray for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit as a reminder that you are great, that you are mighty, that you are holy. Lord God, let us catch a glimpse of who you are once again. Let us behold you. Let us see you high and lifted up. We praise you. We adore you. We thank you for your greatness. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Go back to verse 2, if you would, and look at that. What Habakkuk is saying is that after he had sat in silence, that he remembered, he knew. He knew that God is who he says he is. He was, beyond a shadow of a doubt, able to pray back these glorious accolades to the Lord. And by the way, we could never give enough praise, enough directions back to say how great God is. We cannot over-exaggerate how wonderful he really is. He is awesome. So because he's awesome, he's saying here, I'm standing here, I've heard this report, and I fear, I revere you, God. I stand in awe of you, Almighty God. I'm astonished at who you are. I really know, I'm remembering once again that you are mighty, you're powerful. And because Habakkuk knew that, he could do some things. And I want to just point out three basic things here about this prayer. The first is that because he knew that God is awesome, he could be bold with God. He could be really bold. He's saying, God, revive your work. Bring it back to life. I've known that you've worked in the past, God, but I haven't seen it lately. And God, would you just work right here in our midst, in the midst of our experience, in the midst of our time, of our years? God, I just want to see you work. I want to see you just blow out the doors here in this nation. Just do a mighty thing among us. God, please revive your work. Bring it back. Let us know your mighty work. Let us see it again. And God, as you're pouring out your wrath that we so much deserve, while you're doing that, would you please remember to be merciful, to show your loving kindness, God, toward us? He's saying, in essence, Lord, I want to see you work in a mighty way right away. That sounds pretty bold before God, right? I mean, who are we to come boldly like that? But we're encouraged to do that. The New Testament writer of Hebrews said, approach God's throne with boldness. Enter in because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Enter boldly. Maybe you guys recently have been hearing the warnings about what's going up at Tahoe, of people that are out hiking and they're enjoying nature and they see bears. And instead of doing what most normal people do, of going away from those bears, these folks are running toward the bears. And they're pulling out their smartphones and wanting to take a picture with the bear. Now that seems really ridiculous, doesn't it? To rush up to a wild animal, to say, excuse me just a second, Mr. Bear. Thank you. And go back. That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? That sounds like, who does that? Who rushes up to this wild, untamable being? But that's what we're encouraged to do with our Almighty God, to be bold, to come before him and say, God, please work in a miraculous way. Just on your face, pleading with the Lord. And we can pray bold prayers like this. Lord, would you please work? Just have to share this with you. Would you please work in the nation of North Korea? There's an estimated 50 to 70,000 Christians who suffer daily in North Korea's prison camps. God, would you please give them safety? Would you please help them stay bold for you? Would you protect them? Would you work over those who are the persecutors, to give them a sense of who you are? God, turn the most notorious persecutor of the Christians, the Apostle Paul, into the greatest evangelist perhaps that the church has ever seen. Pray for the persecutors. Pray for the persecuted church. You want to pray a bold prayer? God, please unite your church. Let us not be divided over little silly things. God, let us show love to this community. God, let us radiate your love. Let us speak your gospel. Let us not be timid. If our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world are so bold to stand up for their faith and risk their lives, let us go across the street to our neighbors and share your good news with them. Please, God, make us bold. Pray bold prayers for God's glory. Ask him to work in a mighty way, just right away. A few weeks ago, I was working, cleaning out our garage. Our youngest son has recently moved out. We're empty nesters. Woohoo! And it's not a bad thing. And our garage was needing some work, and so I'm out there, and I just noticed something that had fallen by the wayside. It was dusty, dirty, layers of, and probably years of filth. And I'm thinking, what is this? And so the closer I look, and I finally pull it out, it was an American flag that we had wrapped up. It was on the pole that we had used to have that set outside our house. that symbol of our country. I just treated it so casually. I'd ignored it. Do we do that with God? Just casual. God, I'll check in with you today. Thanks for the blessings. Thanks for my family. Thanks for the job. Thanks for the food. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Are we that casual with God? We can be bold with Him, and we can be consistent toward Him in our prayers. Let's approach Him like He wants us to. Let's be bold and pray bold prayers for His glory. Well, because we know God is awesome, we can pray bold prayers, but not only that, we can be in awe of Him. Notice verse 3 here in this chapter 3. Verse 3. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of His praise. Just a reminder of how great God is. Do you guys enjoy fall? Is it one of your favorite times of the year? It certainly is mine. I love the changes, the leaves. I've tried to imagine and give words to what I've seen this last week and a half or so. And it's like you're looking at those trees and they're all lemon-lime shades, and then all of a sudden it looks like someone's just taken a bottle of soda and poured into it, orange soda, and then they just shimmer into this effervescent orange and red, and it's just amazing, and it's beautiful, and God did that. Who did that? God did that. We can be in awe of who He is. When was the last time that you just went out and looked up at the stars and thought, yep, it's all about me. Every one of this creation, it's all about me. No. That's why we go out and enjoy God's creation. That's one way that we can cultivate this sense of awe, is to be out in His creation. I recently came across an object of how to picture our galaxy, our little Milky Way. If you want to know the distance between our planet and the sun, it's about the thickness of this piece of paper, just for scale. Let's just pretend for a second. So from Earth to the sun, this thick. Now from our sun to the nearest star, 71 feet of paper stacked up. From one end of our Milky Way to the other, you'd have to stack the sheets of paper 310 miles. God did that. Are you in awe of who God is? God did that. We didn't. He spoke it. Let there be light. Let there be this planet. Make people. Form a man out of the dust of the earth. Are you in awe of God? Habakkuk certainly felt that. He sensed it, and he said, God, you've made this. I see it. Now I understand. Lord, he'd been praying, I want to see you work in a mighty way right away, but now, Lord, I see you at work, and I'm in awe of who you are. This whole section, verses 3 through 16, we see how he's talking about this idea of splendor and praise. This idea of splendor, it means to carry weight and power and majesty and beauty. This praise, it's glory, and it's a praiseworthy action. We see here that he's thinking of God's arrival, God's appearance, and God's actions. He's in awe of what he's witnessing. It's a hearkening back to the deliverance of the people from Egypt. All these images and the horse and the rider and the chariots and all of that and the deliverance. It's a looking ahead to the redemption that his people were experiencing at the cross. And it's a looking, I think, final looking ahead to that final redemption when he returns and he makes his beautiful bride and takes it back to himself, us, when we're with him. Are you in awe of God? Lord, I see you at work, and I'm in awe of you. Back in August of 1952, this piano virtuoso went up onto this little rustic theater in Woodstock, New York. He opens the piano lid. He closes it back down. He lays out some blank sheet music. There's nothing on it. He clicks his stopwatch, and he puts his hands on his laps, or on his lap. And people are thinking, well, what's this? We came to listen to someone play the piano. Hear the leaves rustling. The man goes to the piano lid, raises it, closes it, clicks his stopwatch. About another minute and a half or so goes by. Still nothing. People start to get really antsy. They walk out. They're leaving. What's this man doing? This piano player, why is there just silence? Some rain starts to fall down, and you can hear the muffled steps of the people as they're leaving. Finally, after 4 minutes and 33 seconds, and that's the name of this piece of music that was written by this man, and it's called Silence. And he did it to point out that sometimes we just don't pay attention. You see, all the time, there were things going on. The rainfall, the leaves rustling, the footsteps, the man opening and closing the lid. We don't often pay attention. And so perhaps we need to cultivate that sense of silence. Remember the verse before this, chapter 3, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. We get so busy. We get so focused on our electronic devices and our schedules and our families. We're trying to go from here to there and back and forth, and we just forget to think about the very one that we should be thinking about so much more than we do. Let's be in awe of God. How can we pray prayers that lead us toward being in awe of God? I'm glad you guys asked that. Thanks. Lord, I'm in awe of how much you've grown this church. You can pray that. Lord, I'm in awe of how you keep bringing new people to this church. Lord, I'm in awe of how you provide for the ministries of this church. Lord, I'm in awe of how you lavish your grace on us. Lord, I'm in awe of how you can transform a wretched sinner into your amazing workmanship. Lord, I'm in awe that you live within us. I'm in awe that you move among us. Lord, I'm in awe that you're close. Lord, I'm in awe that you're so far. Lord, I'm in awe of how glorious you are. Lord, I'm in awe of you. You are amazing. You are awesome. Let's be in awe of God. Finally, let's express our joy in him. Let's be bold with him. Let's be in awe of him, but let's express our joy in him. Let's go back to those final verses, 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, we might say, though my tomato plants don't have anything on the vine. Though there be no fruit on those vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the field or from the fold, and though there be no cattle in the stalls. Lord, if my cupboards are bare and my bank account is down to zero, can we still declare what he does say here in verse 18? Yet I will exult, I will rejoice, I will triumph in the Lord, in the great I am. I will rejoice in him. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. A few weeks back, I went to Denver, Colorado, and met up with my family. My sister was there, my mom and brother-in-law from Texas came. They had driven up, and they picked me up at the airport, and then we were off to an adventure. We went there to help my aunt. She's 85 years old. She's on oxygen 24/7, and she lives in a one-bedroom apartment, and we were just there by my sister's wild, crazy idea to help my aunt with some renovations, some cleaning, some upkeep there in her little apartment. And we didn't stay there. It's one bedroom, so there wasn't enough room for us, but we stayed in someplace really nice. My sister and her husband had rented a really fancy house. It was a vacation spot near this beautiful park, Sloan Lake Park. There's a small lake. I even saw people out water skiing while we were there last month. This house has a basement. That's where I stayed. It was like the deluxe man cave. It had a huge big screen, you know, TV, microwave oven, its own little mini fridge down there. I could have stayed in that part of the house. Then upstairs, there's the kitchen area, dining area, office area, another great room for meeting and television. And then upstairs, there's bedrooms, laundry room, the bathroom, one of the master suite bathrooms. It had this tub big enough to swim in. I mean, it was just a great house. And I said, "Sis, this must have set you guys back a little bit. Can I help pay something to stay here? Can I be able to give you something?" And she says, "No. We're just so glad that you were able to come and be here with us. And there's nothing you can do. We just want you to know how much we love you. So you're saying that I don't have to pay anything?" No, I didn't ask that. I said, "Well, thank you." Now, picture this. Just a few feet from where we are staying in this park, there's quite a few people that live out in that park, and at nighttime, they're wrapping their sleeping bags around them, their bodies, to stay warm. They're sleeping out there homeless. I had a choice. I could have said, "You know what? I like it better out here, outside of this wall of love and grace and bounty, this gift. I can reject that gift or I can receive it." God's lavished his grace on us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the God of our salvation. We can have joy. We may not like what we're going through, but we can still have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can have joy in the midst of our most intense, most impossible situations, things that we would never want for anyone else to go through, but we're going through them, and we can still declare like Habakkuk, "Yet will I exult, I will triumph in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength." So I was so happy that I was able to say, "Okay, I'll stay in the house. I'll eat this wonderful food. I'll stay and be a part of this family. I won't go outside the family." And all along, God's saying, "Come be part of the family." He's shown who he is through his Son, Jesus Christ. These images of these men being struck down, these spears and these thorns that are attacking, and the God is going forth for the salvation of his anointed. They're images of what we see happening to Jesus. He received that punishment. He received what we should have received as that wrathful outpouring of God's judgment. And yet, we are so happy. We're joyful because of what God's done. We triumph. "Lord, I'm in awe of you, and I praise you. I praise you. I rejoice in you, God." Maybe you've been praying. This is a prayer. This is a beautiful prayer. Maybe you've been praying for this particular person. Yesterday was the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We just really don't understand, I think, what other people experience. What we have is not persecution here in this country, at least not yet. Maybe inconvenience, maybe people that don't understand, but we are not experiencing persecution. But Pastor Saeed, who is an American citizen who is now held captive in Iran, we've been praying for him. And a few months ago, he wrote a letter to his 8-year-old daughter from prison. He says, "My dearest Rebecca Grace, happy 8th birthday. You're growing so fast and becoming more beautiful every day. I praise God for his faithfulness to me every day as I watch from a distance through the prison walls and see pictures and hear stories of how you are growing both spiritually and physically. Oh, how I long to see you. I know that you question why you have prayed so many times. Don't you know that his daughter has prayed bold prayers? God, please release Daddy. Get Daddy home. Please, God. Now here, there is a big why in your mind. You're asking, why isn't Jesus answering your prayers and the prayers of all the people around the world praying for my release and for me to be home with you and with our family? The answer to the why is who? Who is in control? Lord Jesus Christ is in control. I desire for you to learn important lessons during these trying times, lessons that you carry now and for the rest of your life. The answer to the why is who? The confusion of why has all of us, why all of this happened and why your prayers are not answered yet. It's resolved in understanding who is in control. And then he repeats, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, is in control. He says, I want you to read the book of Habakkuk. He had the same questions you do. But see that the Lord answered him. In Habakkuk 2, verse 3, the vision comes and does not delay on time. Wait for it. Mommy and I always had big desires to serve Jesus and had great vision to be used for his kingdom and for his glory. So today, we pay a cost because God who created us called us to that. And so I want you to know that the answer to all your prayers is that God is in control. And he knows better than us what he is doing in our lives and all around the world. And learn the lesson that Habakkuk did. He says, finally, my dear beloved daughter Rebecca Grace, I pray God will bring me back home soon. But if not, we will still sing together as Habakkuk did. Hallelujah. Either separated by prison walls or together at home. So, let Daddy hear you sing a loud hallelujah that I can hear all the way here in the prison. I'm so proud of you, my sweet, courageous daughter. Glory to God forever. Amen. Kisses and blessings, Daddy. Are you bold before God? Are you in awe of God? Are you able to express your joy to him, even in the midst of the most difficult situations? Here's just some other prayers that we can pray. Lord, I praise you for you. I praise you for your salvation. I praise you for being my salvation, for being my strength. I praise you for your victory over evil, your victory over death. God, I praise you for your power. Lord, I praise you for your holiness, for your sovereignty, your majesty, your justice, your mercy. Lord, I rejoice in you. Lord, I delight in you. Lord, I'm overwhelmed by you. Are you able to voice this prayer like Habakkuk? That even though things are raging out of control, even though you see your nation in turmoil, things not going the way you know they should and can, things possibly coming to a head in your family, just situations unfolding, job situations, health issues, can you still declare that, yet I will exalt in the Lord? The Lord God is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonder of who you are. We really can't begin to comprehend your greatness. We thank you that we know you through Jesus Christ. We see who you are through his love, through his sacrifice, through his interactions with people. We see you high and lifted up. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you will draw people to you. I pray that we can lift you up. I pray that people can see a reflection of who you are in us. please don't let us hide that light. You've entrusted your gospel into these earthen vessels. You've poured out your love. You've lavished your grace upon us as a way to show the world of who you are. It's not about us. It is about you. Let us live for your glory, even this next few moments. Let us live for your glory this afternoon, this week. Lord God, keep bringing us back to that place of humility, of total dependence on you. Let us cry out with our hearts toward you. Let us be in awe of you this day, our awesome God and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.